Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Yes, indeed. This is Head On for a Thursday night. I am Bob Kincaid. And we're going to try to get back to the business at hand. That is all the business at hand. The point of the matter, there's so much going on in the world. There's some follow-up stuff to be done with the mine disaster, and I think it deserves mention. But we're going, look, you guys can take this show where you want to tonight. You're welcome to call in at any time, hither, thither, and yon, and bring up what you want to bring up, because it's, well, we're just that democratic around here. I don't have a lock on what is and is not worth talking about. I've got some stuff here that I think we ought to go into. God knows we're up to our neck in Jack Abramoff and Ariel Sharon. Sharon, you know what? I'm getting to where I just truly, truly despise Pat Robertson, even more than I ever did before, because this guy is getting in the way of my comedy. Not that I'm a comedian, not that I'm, you know, I'm a professional joke meister or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is, I had a great little Ariel Sharon thing all worked out where, you know, Ariel Sharon is getting ready to go to hell, and he's going to stand there right next to Yasser Arafat in hell, too, and they're both going to work pulling pork in the devil's own barbecue joint, and they're going to serve the victims of their various and sundry murders. Not bad, not bad. But how can that stand up against the likes of Pat freaking Robertson when he comes out and says that Ariel Sharon had a stroke because he divided God's land? Yeah, no kidding. Quote, God considers this land to be his. You read the Bible and he says, this is my land. And for any prime minister of Israel who decides he is going to carve it up and give it away, God says, no, this is mine. I really liked the mental image of Ariel Sharon and Yasser Arafat pulling pork together in the devil's own barbecue joint. I really liked that. Now, some might say that that's religiously insensitive of me. Too bad. You know, because this is what kind of an if there's an afterlife, if you go in for all of that, what in the world? You know, this isn't Little Nicky where he's just going to get a pineapple shoved backwards up his behind by the devil and have done with it. This is Ariel Sharon is a killer. What were the names of those camps? Doggone it! It escapes me. Shatila? Was that one of them? Where he ordered gunfire, where he ordered crowds of unarmed civilians to just be mown down? And that guy's going to enter into paradise? No paradise for you, Ariel Sharon. Now, Robertson on the other... Will somebody please just cart this old fool off and give him a loading dose of Thorazine or Geodon or the Haldol, something that'll make the voices stop in his head? And of course, not that I follow the... Yes, I do. I ran across, I think it was at MediaMatters.org over the weekend, I ran across something where they had actually... toted up all the things that God told Pat Robertson about the coming year 2005 back last, a year ago. And one of the things, you know, Pat Robertson, oh,
God has told me that the stock market will take a significant upswing. Now, I'm not a stockbroker, and I'm not telling you to buy stock on my advice, but God says this is going to be a banner year for the stock exchange.
It finished down on the year, the Dow Jones Industrial Average did. NASDAQ was maybe up a point or two on the year.
Yeah, but then again, this is Pat Robertson who said that God has told me that that George Bush is going to win in a landslide because George Bush is God's man.
So I don't know if he showed it. I didn't. God knows I don't watch the 700 Club. But did Pat Robertson come out with the video and show God's deed to Israel?
It's right here. It's the Holy Bible.
Holy
hell! No kidding. The prophet Joel makes it very clear that God has enmity against those who divide my land. I would say woe to any prime minister of Israel who takes a similar course to appease the EU, the United Nations, and the United States of America.
And then reminded people that Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated for trying to bring peace.
You know what? I don't know about you. I don't want anything to do with Pat Robertson's God. Pat Robertson's God is a creepy guy.
Here's the secret. Pat Robertson's God is Satan. Okay? Everything that is evil is what Pat Robertson worships. You do understand that. Of course you do. You're liberal. You're progressive. You're Democrats. You're decent. You understand that whenever Pat Robertson talks about listening to God, he's talking about listening to the Prince of Darkness.
Sure.
Robertson spokeswoman Angel Watts, of course he has a spokeswoman named Angel, said of critics who challenged his remarks, what they're basically saying is, how dare Pat Robertson quote the Bible? No, sister. Yea, verily, lay hands upon thee. No, that is not what we are saying, sugar pie. What we are saying is that your boss is crazier than a sprayed roach. Is that so hard to comprehend? You know, running around calling for the assassination of, you know, leaders of other countries. Saying the stock market's going to go through the roof in 05. And now this. Ariel Sharon didn't have a stroke because he's about, you know, 900 pounds overweight and probably lives on the chopped liver.
No. The cholesterol and the triglycerides clogging Ariel Sharon's arteries had nothing to do with his cerebral vascular accident in which the bleeding was so heavy the surgeons almost couldn't stop it, the bleeding in his brain from the cerebral hemorrhage. No, that had nothing to do with it. It was God. God did it. That was a God stroke.
In fact, it probably wasn't even a stroke, was it? It was a smote. God smote him. Because, you know, that Old Testament God, he's all into that smiting business.
You see how dangerously, pitifully, terribly insane these people are? Heavens to Betsy.
I mean, that's what you're dealing with the likes of a Pat Robertson. And you know, and I do. I resent him getting all over my comedy because I could have gone for 30 minutes about... Ariel and Yasser sitting there pulling pork at the back in the kitchen of the Devil's Own barbecue joint down in the furthest pits of hell. Barbecue pit, get it? See,
it was going to be good. It was really going to be good.
But no, Pat Robertson had to go and ruin it for me. So, you know, we got that. We got Jack Abramoff. We got some more mind stuff. Oh, and fun with Walmart. We got fun with Walmart tonight, too. So, you know, stick around. And if you got something else you want to throw into the fire, bring it on.
Bring them on.
You're more than welcome to. The phone number is 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3368. 3333. Email's easy too. bob@headonradio.com. See how it works? And we'll be right back after a couple of messages and we'll get it going. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Head on for a Thursday night. You know me. I'm Bob Kincaid, and mighty tickled to have you on board. Hope you'll stick around through all 3 hours if you possibly can, whether you're listening live on the stream or listening via iTunes or RadioPower.org or listening to the archives there at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Any way you can get it, we're happy for you to have it. Trust me. Let's go to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Hello, Bob, and my gracious, you should have never, ever conjured up that Hell's Barbecue Shack.
Well, see.
I could just imagine some old boy named Standifer that went to hell for owning black people. I could just imagine him waltzing up to that piece of wood. Earl. Come here, boy.
Yeah, boy.
I'd like in cuts, double pickles. Make damn sure that bun's white.
Well, see, Ariel Sharon, you got to understand, Ariel Sharon will be going down to work with Yasser Arafat, but Yasser's not the only employee at Satan's Barbecue Joint, because
no, new name, Bob. Beelzebub Smoking Bone.
Yeah, because the front counter is being worked by Strom Thurmond and Jesse and Lester Maddox and George Wallace.
That's it. No more.
Okay. Okay.
I will pitch in on that, make a complete fool of myself, and the whole show will be lost. You or the Dear Agnes will just punch the button, and I'll be gone in a second. All of us that were privileged to listen last night got to hear heartfelt radio at its finest. I mean, with a sacrament like Dr. Ralph kicking it off, and all that was said and all that was contributed, and you got out of the way and let plenty of people say things that really mattered. Last night contributed to the well-being of many of us. So all of us say thank you. And I'm sure
I appreciate that.
I'm sure you got some of it last night. You're more than welcome. I'm sure you got emails today. So
got a stack of them.
Well deserved. And I appreciate the invite. So maybe veer off a little bit and get back to the diversity of things. Last night, as you were doing your show and in the late evening in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, dear leader, W. the Retard, did something he's very, very good at, which is skirting the will of the people, trampling on what should be due process, and ramming it down our throats. And it's not going to get much coverage. I haven't heard a lot about it today.
No.
It happened. It happened last night. 17, that's 1-7, 10 plus 7 recess appointments were made to governmental positions of power that matter by George Walker Bush last night. That means that he had tried to get Republicans, Democrats, independents, to sign off on idiot, suck-up, butt-kissing, crony, fundraising Republicans that kissed his butt, but they wouldn't do it.
That's so, kind of pitiful, isn't it?
He could not get enough Republicans to ram these 17 double-digit IQ C-minus idiots into a job. So everything that brought us, and we can all do it, and I refuse to do it, everything that allowed us to have our own perfect imitation of Brownie, you've done a heck of a job. This morning, there are 17 brand new ones, and they're there until someone else is inaugurated 3-plus years down the road.
And done without so much as a buy your leave on the part of the Senate.
Done.
And they're coming, but God, David, when are they coming back into session? What, a week?
Exactly. But he'd already been told the back room talk was short version. Come on, George, not her, not him, not again. You want to stand next to 3 more brownies, W? And he rammed it. Not a buy your leave. He rammed it down the throats of his own party. So there's a little bit of a tie-in to the mining situation. When the Republicans came into power, those that govern and monitor and ask the mining industry to do what they ought to do based on the laws of the land, within days, within weeks, George Walker Bush hacked 119 positions out of that department. Not at the top, but at the bottom.
The worker bees.
The guy driving the Taurus station wagon that walks through muck, rain, frost, snow to say, you got to do something about this methane, Mr. Mine Owner. You got to do something about this dust level. You got to do something about, I can't find any way to ventilate this shaft, and there are 18 men 4,000 feet from sunlight. He got rid of 119 people and installed one of those people like he rammed through last night.
Yeah.
Like Ms. Chow, like Brownie, like all the rest of them. Those 17 last night, they don't care about the American people. They care about 2 people with American passports. They care about Carl, and they care about Grover.
Yep.
When the phone rings and it's one of those guys, it matters. If the phone rings and it's 5 million American voices, put that one into voicemail, Edith.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. And it kills people, David. That's the thing. You know, we can sit here and say, you know, can you believe how incompetent these jackasses are? But it kills people. People die on the on account of this incompetence.
That's exactly right. And we're not going to hear a word about it. I, you know, we've got a TV at work. Fox News was beaten it to death that two Turkish children died of bird flu.
Yeah.
You would have thought that was 2000 in Baltimore. They ain't heard a word out of Fox about those 17 idiots that will now govern and rule on and affect the daily lives of every single one of us at any given moment. We're not going to hear much about that because it's got no glamour, got no pizzazz. It's not a beautiful girl in a foreign country doing who knows what over spring break. It's none of that stuff.
No.
It's not prison escapees in Yakima, Washington that scared someone in 1998. No, it's none of it. No, it's not those things that causes everybody to go, wait a second, I better look at that one. It takes a little thought process. But W has saddled us with 17 more that can kill us, and you're exactly right. And we've come right back to the same process.
Well, you know, I wasn't kidding last night, David, when I suggested that, you know, we can kind of tell International Coal Group to go to hell, and we'll rename their mine for them. It's the Katrina mine from here on out, as far as I'm concerned, because what we got out of Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. We got out of the Bush administration, and we got out of MSHA at the Sago number one. It's not Sago number one anymore. It's Katrina number one, or Katrina number two, actually.
Well, it's Katrina Widowmaker.
Yeah.
Let's go for all of it. Let's make sure that even the dullest, even the least connected catch on. And let's offend every member of the right that we possibly can. I love what Wayne said. You know, and as a former shop steward elected by his working peers, you know, I just might retire and drive up to West Virginia and say, Wayne, take me through the interview process. I'd like to qualify for that gray but unbowed organizer crew. You know what? I'd love to go through the process. See if I can be of use.
Well, you know, I think it would. I'm not kidding. I wish Wayne would take some steps on this because, you know, I'm sure there are some. Older folks out there that, you know, would probably relish the opportunity to get in and get their feet wet again and show the younger generation what it daggum well means to give a damn.
The younger generation has not seen it. They haven't lived it. They haven't gone up or down in what they ate, drank, and lived in based on union activity. So union activity to a 25-year-old doesn't mean anything. But you know what? I found out in my personal life that a committed, engaged, open-minded, older person interacting with someone of a much younger age can make things happen. And Bob, on this last little thought as we get to the bottom of the hour, if Wayne can pull together a crew of those older guys, I remember what an elected officer, and we'll talk another time how I know what this guy had to say, a motorcycle club president on the West Coast once told me, and I don't mean a motorcycle club that goes to Shoney's for a special on Saturday morning.
I know who you're talking about.
And this old boy said to me one time, he says, you know, some of these kids need to understand that just because I'm older, they really need to rethink some of this stuff. Because he says, you know, younger men fight for sports. Older men fight to avoid dying. So the older guy, if Wayne marshaled the right batch of folks, you know, those old gray-headed guys could tap back into some earlier processes, probably make some things happen.
I think we're onto something here, without a doubt. But we do have to hit the break, David.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take care. Later.
See you later.
And we'll be back after our bottom of the hour break. More phone calls. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Save a bit of power. You got 50,000 watts in a big acoustic tower. Security's so tight tonight. Oh, they're ready for a tussle. Better keep your backstage passes, 'cause your promoter has a muscle. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
Labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, friends.
Yeah, welcome back. 25 minutes and change before the hour. Let's go straight to the phones. Jim has been waiting and through the break, and we appreciate it. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good. I enjoyed your music. Who was the artist there?
That was Dire Straits.
Dire Straits.
Yeah.
I haven't heard those boys in a long, long time.
And before that was Nick Lowe.
Okay, Dire Straits. I've got several of it. Things by then. You know, pursuant to your comment about Pat Robertson,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, every time the guy, I hear him, I feel the need to take a shower.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. And, you know, when you look at him on TV, he sort of looks like, I really can't say what I think he looks like.
Yeah, he looks like he was drug around by his ears for a couple of decades, for starters.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And, you know, basically he sounds like he's on a combination of sodium pentothal and chloral hydrate, but you know, I'll tell you, inside that man is a lot of meanness.
Outright hate.
I mean, he's one of the most hateful people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, let's catalog some of the remarks he's made, okay?
Sure.
First, he wants to kill Hugo Chavez.
Right.
Second, he wants to, he says that activist judges are more dangerous than Bin Laden's crowd.
Right.
Third, he wants to go down and blow up, or he hopes that God will destroy Orlando because of the gay Disney World thing or something down there.
Right.
And then this thing about Mr. Sharon.
Well, didn't he also say that he wanted the State Department bomb, too? Wasn't that another one
Probably.
Of his?
Probably.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, you know, this guy is truly an example of a tale told by an idiot who frets and struts his way about the stage, filled with sound and fury, and he signifies absolutely nothing.
Well, I'd be right there with you on that, Jim, if it weren't for the fact that he has literally millions of Americans who listen and go, "Yes, praise Jesus, Brother Pat, you're right."
Yeah, I'm afraid you may have a point.
And they vote his slate, Jim.
Yeah, I know they do. I know they do. Well, you know, Andy Warhol once said that every man should have 15 minutes of fame, but I think he's had more than his fair share, and it's time for it to be over.
Well, can I mean, I know what it costs to run this program on a monthly basis, and that's it is chump change compared to what it costs Pat Robertson.
Oh, good Lord!
But heavens to Betsy! I mean, can you imagine the hungry he could feed, the homeless that he could house, the naked he could clothe, the sick that he could go toward healing if he took all of that money that he pours into that filthy little hate fest that he has and actually did the work that Christ talked about when he walked. The earth. But, you know, that's me.
Well, you know, now he has what he calls Operation Blessing, which is some type of airplane that is flung around in which he goes to trouble spots in the world, and I guess that gives him a raison d'etre or a reason for being around and justifies his existence. But he does have quite a large budget, and it's one of these mega ministries in which a lot of people through the medium of television have been infected and affected, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, you got to remember, he gave Jim and Tammy Faye Baker their start.
I know he did, and I thought they did a much better job, really, with what they did than what he's done, because at least you can see what they were.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Tammy Faye was funny. I feel sorry for Tammy Faye. I really do. I kind of like her, and that her in some of the albums that she has done are just her. One of them, Scott, I think it's Enough is Enough. It's just a camp. I mean, it's just basically who it is, what she is, and she admits it.
Yeah. Well, now.
And you know, and even then, well, she was so medicated when she was on that other stage. She didn't know she was coming or going.
Well,
she really
didn't.
I mean, she really, honestly and truly didn't. And these stories about Tammy Faye raising a chicken from the dead and stuff like that, I mean. you never heard about that?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I'd forgotten.
They first got together, she raised a chicken from the dead, she said. And
I've raised a chicken from an egg.
Well, I know. And then they had this scene on Roseanne where Roseanne and Jackie, you know, Roseanne has gotten all this money from the lottery. And she and her sister go to this resort, the spa, to get glamorous. And the last stage is to have their, you know, makeover. And they show a competition with her back to the wall, and you can't see her face. And Roseanne and Jackie, and this woman is saying, "Now, I believe the natural look." And when the woman turns around and faces the camera, it's
Tammy Faye Baker.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at least there was some humor in that PTL program, because I remember we used to call those people collect all the time, and all these little blue-haired ladies up there would refuse to take the call. And you could see which one you were talking to, and, you know, we'd be sort of in an altered state when we did it, I'll admit, back in those days.
Sure.
And we used to get out, you used to just, I thought they were just hilarious.
Call up, start speaking in tongues, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's just incredible. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just, this guy is just really a real schmuck as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, I hate to be too mean, but I am so ready for Pat Robertson's funeral. I just really am.
Well, I just wish that he would just, if he wants to talk about other people having strokes and this, that, and the other, he better watch out, because he may get a dose of his own medicine. You know, sometimes out of one's own mouth comes one's own prophecy.
Well, yeah, and you know, a little dose of the Pharaoh treatment wouldn't hurt him.
No, I'll tell you something. That man is just, he's done a lot to...
Well, Ariel Sharon has a lot to answer for, but I don't think it's because he wasn't, the implicit in what Robertson said about Sharon is the fact that, you know, he believes that Sharon wasn't quite hateful enough to the Palestinians. And that's really not, you know, being more hateful to the Palestinians isn't going to be a solution to that problem. Somehow I can't see that.
Well, like I say, this man, Pat Robertson, there is a lot of hatred inside that man, and where it comes from, I don't know, but I don't think it comes from a source of divine origin. I really don't.
No.
I think he's just basically a very, very evil man, and, you know, he's fooled a lot of people. And, you know, that's in my comments about pity for Pat, but anyway... you're mentioning Walmart. They want to get into the banking business.
Yes, they do. Oh, but they've done something far worse, Jim. You're going to have to stick around and because when I get to it, you're just going to want to scream.
Well, Barney Frank has been, you know, making some ugly noises about them and what they're trying to do. And, you know, basically, I don't think this kind of bank would have any FDIC protection or any other type of regulation.
Well, you got to remember, regulation's bad. Regulation is bad in Republican world. If they could drop every regulation on every rich crony that they could find, they would swear up and down that America was the better for it.
Well, didn't I hear your friend David just say that Bush had fired 119 hewers of wood and drawers of water from the federal ranks?
Well, from MSHA.
From MSHA.
Yeah.
Guys who really do this stuff.
Yeah, the worker bees.
And, you know, these inspectors that they have, Bob, they have a terrific reputation for going around and not even going into the mine. I mean, getting off on a different subject here, but, I mean, a lot of these guys used to, or I don't know if they still do or not, but they simply go by the head office and collect a paycheck and then go down the road and throw a hook in the water and then fish. I mean, I even heard Jeff talking about that this morning. I never thought I'd agree with Jeff on anything, but I mean, he was talking about how some of these inspectors were.
But see, you got to understand, that's the way these people work. See, that's a reason to go ahead and just scrap MSHA altogether, because you know, if you can point out a couple of bad apples, Jim, then it's a reason to say that the whole thing doesn't work. Again, if the Republicans could get away with completely closing down the Mine Safety and Health Administration, they would do it.
Oh, they'd destroy everything. Fair Labor Standards Act, they'd destroy Social Security, they'd destroy Medicare and Medicaid, everything. I mean, I don't know. I have never seen such a destructive, nihilistic group of people who think that they're going to be favoring their own cause by destroying these institutions.
They hate America. Well, you got to understand, Jim, and I'm not trying to be over the top on this. They hate the United States as it is presently constituted.
Well, don't they realize that they're going to have the Samson effect when they do this, that they're going to pull the temple down right on top of their own heads?
They don't see it that way. They think that...
Well, what do you think they think is going to protect them from the winds that blow after they destroy all these laws that protect them?
What will protect them, Jim, is their inherent power. If they have employment power and purse power over working people on a 24-hour-a-day basis and can dictate the terms of the lives of everyone who isn't as rich as them, then they... No, they don't think they're going to pull the temple down on top of them. They think they're going to... destroy the temple of American democracy, and they're going to raise up a new temple of oligarchy.
Well, I mean, we've seen what oligarchs would have had, what's happened to them. I mean, look at Argentina.
Yeah, but that never sways the next generation of oligarchs, Jim. They think that, and you can hear it in the way that they talk about Bush too. Well, you know, Bush isn't exactly our, you know, he's not a real conservative, but you know, it's not a philosophy problem. It's you know, he's just not the right guy. We'll get it right with the next hateful conservative.
Well,
and no, so you know. Previous examples are not going to mean anything to these people because they're smarter than everybody else.
They think they are.
Yeah.
In other words, the Cato Institute and some of the other think tanks that they use up there, they think that they're going to produce some type of super conservative who's going to even outscrew Bush. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's just not going to work. It's just not going to work because they're not going to get what you've just said. They're not going to get all these people who are going to be beholden to them because I don't think they'll let them do it.
Jim, if they can make just a little bit more progress in destroying the American worker, they'll have us right where they want us. I mean, look at how. I don't mean to hammer on it, but how many times do we have to point out the fact that if one single human being working at that Sago number one mine, if one of them had gone and said, "Boss, it's unsafe in there. I'm not going in," and now we have the conversations between fathers and sons and spouses where they said, you know, these guys knew that mine was a widowmaker, but they had to go in because of the money, and they knew that if they complained, they would be fired.
Well, the only thing you can say, the only good thing that can come out of this terrible tragedy at the Sago mine is this. And this is what I keep constantly saying to you. Eventually, one day, from the spark shall come the flame. And people are not... I don't think you're going to find many people that are going to go back in that mine there anyway.
Oh, yes, they will.
I don't think so.
$50,000 a year on a gamble with your life is a profound inducement.
They don't make that, Bob.
Yeah, they do.
I heard their salary started at about 39.
That's in West Virginia, that's still not chump change, Jim.
Well,
you can't make that at Walmart. There's nowhere else.
Yeah, but look at
there's nowhere else in Upshur County paying that money.
Yeah, but look at the risk, and you know, you don't have to stay in Upshur County. You don't have to stay in that part of the world. But what I'm saying is this: I think that they're not going to, you know, that this I hope will be an example that other people will follow and realize that they're going to have safety implementation made. I mean, mining at best is a very dangerous occupation.
Yes.
And these people are exacerbating that. They're making it even more dangerous than it need be. And, you know, I don't know about firefighters, and I've never been in a mine.
There is one solution to all of this, Jim. There is one solution. It's easy. We can have all the congressional hearings in the world, but one solution will change, will go a long way toward changing this nightmare. And that is if there is a concerted effort. If every miner for International Coal Group signed a union card tomorrow, there would be less death, less damage, less destruction inside those mines.
Well, that would definitely be a very sure mechanism to ensure, that things like this would be minimalized, you know? Definitely agree with you. But I definitely think that eventually these people are going to pull the temple right down on their own heads if they haven't already. Because, I mean...
They're not going to pull it down on their
heads. History is on my side.
But, Jim, they're not... I don't know. I don't know so much. I mean...
I think it is.
Because what happens when they... The temple's not going to come down on their head. The temple's going to come down on working people's heads.
I don't know.
It's working people's babies that will cry in the night. What? Because these oligarchs like Bennett Hatfield and Wilbur Ross Jr., they have enough money to burn herds of wet elephants at a time. And you know what? They'll always have what they need. Their babies will not cry out in the night, but the workers will.
Well, their babies might not cry out in the night because their babies might have been killed.
Well,
let's think about it. You look back into
oligarchs
have bred for themselves. They have made a bed for themselves, and they've had to lie in it. And it wasn't a very, very pleasant place to be.
Jim, this is the United States, my friend. The SWAT teams were already in place.
Hey, what makes you think the SWAT teams won't turn and fire on the wrong people?
Because they're not going to fire on the people who sign the paychecks.
I don't know. I'll tell you, there were Cossacks sent to slaughter Russians.
It's a different paradigm. It's a different paradigm.
Well, it might be, but I'll tell you, these Cossacks, when they were sent to fire on people who wanted bread, they didn't fire on the people against whom they were sent. They fired on their so-called employers.
This state, in times far worse than this, this state has a long and dishonorable history of law enforcement and military being willing to fire on working people. And like I said last night, it might as well be 1906 as 2006, because where that's concerned, nothing's changed, Jim. Nothing's changed.
Well, we're not going to settle this tonight, so I'm going to leave you where I found you.
All right, take care, Jim, and thanks for your thoughts. Bye now. All right, quick break. And when we come back, a couple more thoughts on the mine. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines. But there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Thanks for sticking around and being part of the proceedings. I do appreciate it, as does my lovely wife, Agnes. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and the phone number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. You're welcome to participate in just about any way you choose. You know, semaphore, telegraph, fax. No, I'm kidding about the fax. Email bob@headonradio.com or the telephone, as previously mentioned. Also, 304-658-3333. And an email from our good friend Judy. This goes back to something from last night. You know that Wilbur Ross Jr., the Silver Spoon, Silk Stocking billionaire, has, out of the generosity of his heart, established a $2 million fund for the victims of Katrina Sago. Sure. And, of course, you know, if you don't give any thought to that, you're like, well, that's mighty sweet of him. No, it's not. That is an act of enlightened self-interest on his part. Why? Well, in the odd chance that some genius lawyer does figure out a way to sue this coal company for its act of reckless indifference and manslaughter, homicide, that kind of thing. If any of these victims have received any of that money, it can be offset against any jury award against him. Isn't that charming? Isn't that sweet? These things don't just happen, and billionaires don't just give away $2 million for the hell of it. And then ask for other people. I was in Charleston earlier today, the state capital. And what did I hear on the radio? Well, apparently, and you would expect it of them, apparently AM 58 in Charleston, which is, it's a right-wing mouthpiece. We all know that. But they have signed on to do a fundraiser in support of this this trust fund that Wilbur Ross Jr. has set up. Yeah, they're going to stand out in a parking lot sometime next week and shake a can and solicit coins and dollar bills from people passing by. That's right, the people of West Virginia and, you know, anybody else who happens to be around are going to be called upon to cover for Bennett Hatfield and Wilbur Ross Jr. Nothing new in that. We do it all the time now, don't we? Of course we do. But, just so you'll know, if you want to help out the victims of Katrina Sago, there is another way. The West Virginia Council of Churches is accepting donations for the families of the miners who died in the blast. And they can be made, donations, that is, by credit card through the West Virginia Council of Churches website, www.wvcc.org. Or they'll take a check sent to the West Virginia Council of Churches at 2207 Washington Street East. West Virginia Council of Churches, 2207 Washington Street East, Charleston, West Virginia, 25311. And you make the check payable to West Virginia Council of Churches Sago Mine Assistance Fund. If you want to help these families, don't get suckered into this trust fund that's going to be used to offset jury verdicts against the company. Go through this West Virginia Council of Churches fund, because that way you know that it will really go where it needs to go. Don't be suckered. Please don't be suckered. But of course, you won't be. You're listening to this program. You're smart. And you're not prone to being taken in by billionaires, now are you? And another note from Judy. People interested in volunteering to help can go to the website volunteerwv.org. People who register on the site as volunteers will be notified as opportunities to assist the families are posted. That's how you help. Pretty simple, huh? So we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take our top of the hour break. And when we come back, among other things, the latest outrage from Walmart somewhere down the road. We'll get to it, I promise. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Coming up on 7 minutes after the hour. This is Head On, and I'm Bob, and like I said, a lot of odds and ends to cover tonight. Some momentous, some not so momentous. There's an article in the Chicago Tribune that was published today about Wilbur Ross Jr. and his predatory, jackalish, hyena-like preying upon less than fortunate American companies and the workers who have given their lives to those companies. And it's a pretty good layout of just how sleazy Wilbur Ross Jr. is. But, I don't know what infects writers. I don't know what makes them write this way. But in the middle, let's see, one, two, three, yeah, four paragraphs down, you get your first anti-West Virginia slur. And maybe I'm just overly sensitive to it, but, you know, it is what it is. This is the sentence that sort of jumped off the page at me and made me go, oh! To wit, the elegantly structured and well-timed leveraged buyouts Ross periodically engineers are a long way, both, here it is, both geographically and intellectually from the hilly coal fields of West Virginia. Now this is the part where I go and kick something. Not you, Agnes. Quit getting in the way of that door. No, seriously. Did you get that? The elegantly structured and well-timed leveraged buyouts Ross periodically engineers are a long way both geographically and intellectually from the hilly coalfields of West Virginia. That is highfalutin journalism speak for West Virginia people are stupid. Both geographically and intellectually. You see, we're not intelligent enough to comprehend a leveraged buyout of a bankrupt corporation. You understand? The Chicago Tribune just called us stupid. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of gets under my skin just a little teeny tiny bit. Both geographically and intellectually. Gary made a point the other night when he called in. He said, he said, Bob, you say everybody's family in West Virginia, but there's some mighty mean West Virginians out there. I need for Wilbur Ross to meet some of those mean West Virginians, and I need for James P. Miller, the author of this story, to meet some of those stupid hillbillies. Because, you know, those stupid hillbillies will clean your clock before you know quite what has happened to you. They most assuredly will. Yes, dear.
Well, you know, I understand takeovers. I understand mergers and things of that nature. And I'm a hillbilly.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do we say about New
well,
Yorkers?
They all
pull together,
no,
right?
You are far separate both geographically and intellectually from the dealings of the likes of Wilbur Ross.
Right. I don't eat the things that I go fishing with.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be at Kebiar.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Scatter a little on the water. It'll bring them right to the top. Okay, let's see. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're Head On. Happy
good,
New Year.
Good evening. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great.
I missed the part I knew that I probably would on Pat Robinson. You know what a honey and hoe he is.
No, absolutely, in spades.
That what's his name? Jack Caffey or whatever.
Jack Cafferty.
Did you hear the comment he made?
No, I didn't.
About putting tape on his mouth and putting him in asylum or something. said get him isolated. But you know the thing that hurts about that, Bob. One of my friends and I were talking. Guys that call themselves Christians and comes out with the kind of idiotic remarks mm-hmm. that preachers like him, Jerry Farwell, and the likes of him, are holding the churches up. They really are. They're going to have blood on their hands. Because when people hear that don't know the difference between the walk in a Christian life and the walk they're doing, they ain't a whole lot of difference, probably. I mean,
not a bunch, no.
But I just wanted to see what you thought about that, and then she said you'd done that you had already discussed.
Yeah, I couldn't hold myself, Ed. I had to jump right on it the minute the show went on the air.
Well, I'm going to have to start getting you at 7 minutes after seven, I guess.
Well, you know, it wouldn't hurt. Love to have you on board.
Well, good luck, and hope you get the response that you need on all these subjects and what's going on, especially in Washington. It's like you said, I think, one day last week, that the wheels are coming off.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. Whether we on our side have the guts to do anything about that is another question entirely, Ed.
Shoot, Bob, it's so pitiful. When you got people like Shirley Love, it takes $71,000, and he didn't need a dime of it. He could have won an election without one dime. But wonder what he done with the money. You know, I'd like to see a report on the money that he got on the table. Because I know that goes on. I know for sure.
Well, it's West Virginia. It's politics. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't have any idea how to get around. They say, well, take a lobbying out of the state house and out of D.C. Well, that don't keep them meeting in motels and stuff after the show during the day.
Well, you got a point there. It depends on the individual. If you have an honest individual, you'll have honest representation. But if you have individuals who care more about money than they do about the people that they're sent to represent, you're going to have dirty government. That's what we've got right now.
Yeah, I don't know of one in there that I trust as far as not taking money, unless it would be Rockefeller. And I think Byrd's pretty honest now, but. It's just a shame what our political system has come to over. And you know that they're bought and paid for. Whatever these guys pay and give them, they expect something back. I mean, you both know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, coal companies and oil companies and telecommunications giants, people, organizations like that, they're not in the charity game, Ed.
No, they're as hard-nosed people as you can run into. But anyway, I just thought I'd give a call and see if you'd talked on that yet and see what you thought. And I was going to make a couple comments on it, but I think...
No, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
No, well, I just think the guy's license should be revoked and kick his hind end off of the area.
Well, unfortunately, that's the problem. He's cable, Ed. He doesn't have a license.
Yeah, well...
You know, that's if he was broadcasting over the air, you know, you could do something about him with the FCC within the parameters of the First Amendment, maybe. But we're kind of stuck with him, and I'm not willing. You know, the trick is, and maybe it's happening a little bit at a time, Ed. The trick is to teach people that this man is a fool and a hate monger, and that he is to be no more listened to than you would listen to a man in a white sheet with a hood over his head every day on the television.
Yeah, there ain't a whole lot of difference. And I mean, you're talking about a guy that would take away your rights at the drop of a hat. It's there. But I want to make another comment. I'm always giving old Jeff down the road.
Mm-hmm.
He is, I was told about how good he done on cutting this company down that caused these men or set up conditions for them to be, killed like they were. And I'm real proud of that, but we had the R&R, or as we call him, the retarded Republican, had him on there taking up for him and saying companies would never do that and acting like he knew something about labor history. You know, I would love to tell him about Walter Reuther, you know, them beating him half to death and throwing him over behind a bunch of machines.
Yep.
Back in probably the
didn't happen. Time. That's a bunch of union lying.
Yeah, that's an exaggeration. That's all they'll tell you. But how about Flint, Michigan? Is
didn't
he familiar
happen.
With that? Is
didn't,
he familiar with...
Nah, it didn't happen. Matewan didn't happen. The Battle of Blair Mountain didn't happen. It's a workers' paradise in the United States. That's what it is, Ed.
Yeah.
That's the way they are.
Yep, and old Blabbermouth on there, the one to host that show, he pitched right into R&R. And, of course, I got to hand it to old Jeff, like I said.
Well, look, I mean,
credit where it's due.
But, Ed, you got to remember that going back, as long as there has been a struggle for the rights of the workers, there have always been people who will stand up against them, who will fight a working man tooth and toenail all the way. One of the greatest traitorous names in West Virginia labor history. C.E. Lively, the man was a part of he allowed the United Mine Workers to meet in his store. He was a part of their organization, and the whole time he was doing it, and this was back in the early days of the 20th century, the whole time he was doing it, he was reporting everything the union did back to the company.
You didn't have to go outside the union to get that. We had one that's in a good place right now, unless he changed his life before he died. And I don't have any sympathy. I know we shouldn't want to see anybody in hell, but he may help make, after I found out what he was after our plant closed, I found out what he was and how he crossed us up and run back to the company with everything. And you know what, Bob, I don't care where he is. And I know that's hard and cruel.
You will always have those people with you.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that they see that the union's doing so good for them and helping them, and they'll go run to the company and spill their guts to them. But
well, they're just weak, sorry, low-life, subhuman individuals that do that, and the people that support them are the same way.
Yeah, but anyway, I just wanted to call in and tell you howdy again and see what you had to say about that so-called preacher.
And most of what I'd say I can't say with a microphone in front of my face, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
All right, Ed, thanks so much, and you have yourself a great evening.
And you too, Bob.
Thanks for listening. Take care.
Uh-huh.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, and let's see, a quick break, and we'll come back. And you want to get to that Walmart story, because this is just too good. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site.
They also know how to avoid those hazards. But will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Right, the Walmart story. This is head on. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, you need okay. Not that they need the traffic, and I don't know. Maybe they've changed it by now. But what have I told you about Republican organizations? And yes, Walmart is a Republican organization. And don't play that card with the they give equally to Democrats and Republicans. They don't. Just like Jack Abramoff. Jack Abramoff never gave a damn thin dime to a Democrat. And yet, you know, like I said, I was in Charleston today. I had to listen to a little bit of Flush Flemball on the way down there, and he's talking about all my friends. Jack Abramoff gave as much money to Democrats as he did to Republicans. No, he didn't. That's a lie. Jack Abramoff did not give a damn dime to a Democrat. Some of his clients did, but the money given directly by Jack Abramoff went strictly and solely to Republicans. And he laundered money through organizations like that controlled by Grover Norquist, because, you see, Norquist and Abramoff go way back. They were part of the college Republicans back when Ronald Reagan was first beginning to put the real screws to America. That evil old man. So they're pals from way back. Just like, pals from way back with who? That's right, Karl Rove. Oh, yeah, this dirty, filthy little financial nightmare orgy has been a long, long time in the making. Just like Jack Abramoff is a Republican organization all unto himself, so too is Walmart. Now, if you go to Walmart's website and you do a product search, and let's say you want the DVD of The Planet of the Apes, the complete TV series. Hear it? See it, Agnes? Based on the enormously popular and successful Planet of the Apes movies, the 1974 TV series has become a true cult classic. Now all 14 episodes, including The Liberator, which never aired during yada, 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 yada. Starring Roddy McDowell, Ron Harper, James Naughton. Director, Ralph Sinensky. Like so many other websites, or, you know, Amazon, you go and you look up a book and it'll say, well, you know, people who bought this book also were interested in this, or if you buy this book, you might also like blah. Planet of the Apes, the complete TV series, and then under similar items, wait for it. You're going to love this. No, you're not. This is going to make you sick. If you scratch deeply enough in any Republican organization, you're going to find what? What have I said? You're going to find bigotry and prejudice and race hate. Planet of the Apes, the television series, complete. Similar items. For $5.50, you can get Introducing Dorothy Dandridge. For $16.87, you can get similar items to Planet of the Apes. $16.87, you can get Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream, The Assassination of MLK. For $17.63, you can get Unforgivable Blackness, The Rise and Fall of Jack Johnson. Or, for $13.38, you can get What's Love Got to Do with It, The Full Frame Version, The Story of Tina Turner. Yeah, really, I'm not making this up.
What does that have to do with the Planet of the Apes?
Back up, Agnes. You're not a bigot. You're not a racist. You're not prejudiced. You're not a registered Republican. So it hasn't dawned on you quite yet what it is that Walmart thinks that Planet of the Apes and Martin Luther King have in common.
But I thought we all evolved from apes.
I love it when you're charming and simple, dear.
Oh, dear, I'm not simple. Maybe charming, but definitely not simple.
No, seriously, honey, do you get it?
I'm getting it.
Do you know what Walmart thinks of black people now? I'm just amazed that they don't have King Kong in there, too.
That's just wrong. I don't care how you look at it. That's just wrong.
This is the segment of the program we like to call Agnes States the Obvious.
Do you know why I love Bob?
No, really, it's kind of hard to figure out sometimes, and the rest of the audience knows that. Look at this. Look at this. There's Planet of the Apes, followed by Introducing Dorothy Dandridge, Martin Luther King, Unforgivable Blackness, The Rise and Fall of Jack Johnson, and What's Love Got to Do with It, The Story of Tina Turner.
So you're telling me they went over to Martha Stewart's section and bought some white sheets that were on sale?
They might as well have, dear. They might as well have. Walmart equates black people with talking gorillas. Hear it again, because it's right there on... Walmart equates black people, black Americans, African Americans, with talking gorillas. Now, do I need to take you back to... Let's see. Yeah, here it is. From December the 11th. Dateline Orlando. Republicans controlling the federal government practice social Darwinism, a discredited philosophy that in economics and politics calls for survival of the fittest, according to a Democratic U.S. Senator, namely Barack Obama. It's called the Ownership Society in Washington, he said. This isn't the first time this philosophy has appeared. It used to be called social Darwinism. Obama said late Saturday at the Democrats' meeting at Walt Disney World, they have a philosophy they have implemented, and that is doing exactly what it is designed to do. They basically don't believe in government. They have a different philosophy that says we're going to dismantle government. Now, if you think that Barack Obama was just blowing a little bit of smoke, you have to go back to the immortal words of Grover Norquist, whom I mentioned earlier, the good, dear, bosom buddy pal of Jack Abramoff, who allowed his organization to be used as a front group for Abramoff's money laundering operations. And you have to remember that Grover Norquist said, our goal is to make the federal government so weak that we can drown it in a bathtub. Okay? And now we've got, Walmart just bringing it full circle. Yeah, you can order Planet of the Apes, the complete TV series. You might also like to order The Life of MLK or The Story of Dorothy Dandridge. My God, here we go again. Might as well be 1906 as 2006. Jesus criminy. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart and wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. There are only two weapons that we working people have at our disposal to fight against corporate power. One of them is unity. When working people stick together, we have more power than any force in the world. Ayn Rand wanted us to believe that just a few special people make the world run. But if all the working people decided that enough is enough, and they would just stop going to work because they felt like they weren't getting paid or treated as they deserved, then no corporation in the world would ever see a penny in profit. The only reason we don't just walk away is because we still have rent and bills to pay and families to feed. And the powers that be, knowing this, want to do everything they can to make sure it stays that way, because a hungry worker is a powerless worker. What happened in the mines of West Virginia is a perfect example of what happens when corporate power and profits are placed above the rights and safety of working people. Those 12 miners were killed because the mining company felt that the expense of keeping the mine safe was more important than the lives of their employees. It would be easy to say that the company murdered them with the help of an administration who places property rights over the rights of humans, but that's not the entire truth. Because we have allowed ourselves to believe in the lie of rugged individualism, we turn against each other, treating anyone who complains about working conditions as a whiner. In other words, shut up and be happy you have a job. The government and the company manufactured the gun, but we took it into our hands and pulled the trigger. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's see, the phone number? Yeah, 877, the number 4, Head On, 304-658-3333, and email to Bob at headonradio.com, or for that matter, in her, she has her very own fan mailbox, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, I have to spell it every time because there are people who are very literacy challenged over on the message boards at headonradio.com that think it's Angus or Agnus or Agnus. Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. And look, if you're new to the program, feel free to go over to headonradio.com. We still have some real live genuine, and you know, they're getting rarer and scarcer every day, genuine Bush voting right wing nuts to contend with. Have a blast with them. Just, you know, well, you've been to the zoo. You know how it goes. But headonradio.com, click on message boards. It's all there. It's for free. It's for you guys. Have a blast. Knock yourselves out. And, you know, enjoy yourself. That's the thing. You know, sometimes, as much as I enjoy a lot of other websites where you can go and you can message back and forth, you know, God knows you cannot express a progressive or, shall we dare say, sane opinion at something like Freeperville. Because you'll be thrown out of there quicker than lickety-split, you know. And so, you know, that's the one thing we do still maintain at headonradio.com, and that is a free exchange of ideas. You know, we ask that you not get, well, I don't ask, Agnes asks. No, I ask too. You know, not so much with the vulgarity. But if you, there are people there who disagree and do so freely and get all ad hominem and can't, and you know, the right wingers can't keep up with a straight train of thought. They can't stay on topic. It's a beautiful thing. Jump in and watch it. It's like a trip to the zoo. It really is. Yes, dear.
You have to watch them. Don't feed them. Don't pet them. If you do, you'll pull back a stump.
Yeah, they look so innocent, don't they? Yes, but they've got big sharp teeth inside those innocent little faces.
We do have an email from our friend Sue in Wales. She says, thanks for providing a link for a local fund for the families of the mining disaster. And that, of course, again, is www.wvcc.org. She says, I delayed my contribution until now because I know only too well how these things work out. For people who decry unions, it is the only tool working people have ever had to help them fight, and the only way to stop the murder in the mines, because at the end of the day, those men were murdered. Yeah, they were. Indifference can kill as easily as a gun or a knife. She said, I caught the end of the show by podcast today, and I'd like to add a well-said Agnes for her union comments. We'll copy this. We'll copy this over to your fan mail file, Agnes.
Thank you, Sue.
And thanks for all the kind thoughts to thanks for the kind thoughts to our friend David in South Carolina. I didn't get to read that on the air, but it was very well received and very much appreciated. I think maybe we'll collect some of those and just forward them up to, you know, through the Council of Churches, forward them to the to the families to let them know that they're being thought of. So we got Walmart equating African Americans with gorillas, really. And last night was rather somber, and deservedly so. So we missed out on the fun that is usually our Wednesday night prayer meeting edition. And I had a couple of prayer meeting stories, well, one of them being Pat Robertson. And then another prayer meeting story that broke last night after the show. And you're going to love this one, and God knows I do. Apart from the Ku Klux Klan, who is one of the greatest proponents of the Defense of Marriage statutes? Who? When every Christian sect in the United States was telling George Bush that Jesus wouldn't attack a country that hadn't attacked... Well, Jesus wouldn't attack a country. Never. He had a chance to defend himself against the Romans and didn't do it. But when every major faith in the United States was telling George Bush that attacking Iraq was the wrong thing to do, who jumped in and said,
Let's go to war, George. Let's go kill us some brown people. Who did it? Who did that? Who was the single, lone, bloodthirsty sect in the United States that couldn't get the war started in Iraq quite fast enough? No, not evangelicals. There are good evangelicals out there. Now, you might be conflating that with fundies. Fundies, yes, but a subspecies of fundies. The Southern Baptist Convention. Hi, my name's Bob, and I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. Hi, Bob! The Southern Baptist Convention. So it comes with no surprise and great glee, glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all normal people. Dateline, Oklahoma City. Agnes hasn't seen this one yet, so if you hear any laughter in the background, it'll be hers. An executive committee member of the Southern Baptist Convention. Not just a little old Southern Baptist church, but we're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. We're talking about one of the mucky mucks, one of the high and mighties, one of the people that lives in one of those gated mansion communities. Probably talks on a routine and regular basis with the likes of Dr. Land, who runs the Southern Baptist Convention. May have even shaken the occasional hand with Jerry Falwell of the Southern Baptist Convention. An executive committee member of the Southern Baptist Convention was arrested in Oklahoma City for propositioning a plainclothes policeman outside a hotel. What was he doing? Was he scalping tickets to the latest revival meeting? Sunshine. No ticket scalping for this board member. No ticket scalping. Lonnie Latham. Brother Lonnie Latham. Brother Lonnie Latham. Come on up here, Brother Lonnie Latham. Lay your hands upon us. Lonnie Latham is senior pastor at South Tulsa Baptist Church. He was booked into Oklahoma County Jail Tuesday night on a misdemeanor charge of offering to engage in an act of, and, you know, this is the puritanical sort of drafting that you still get in many southern and western and midwestern states in their statute books. My God, here in West Virginia, if you get busted for pot in West Virginia, you're going to be charged with possession of marijuana, and it's marihuana. That no J's in the typewriter back then, you know. Not that Mary Jew on it. No, not here in West Virginia. It's marijuana. You know, that's the way it goes in the statute book. So, Brother Lonnie Latham. Latham? Latham? Oh, there's a joke in there somewhere. Lonnie Latham was booked Tuesday night on misdemeanor charge of offering to engage in an act of lewdness, according to Police Captain Jeffrey Becker. He was released on $500 bail yesterday afternoon. Who is Brother Lonnie Latham? Brother Lonnie Latham has stood in the pulpit, and he has read from the book of Leviticus. Yay, Jesus! He has read from the book of Leviticus about, and from Deuteronomicus, about how a man shall not put on the raiment of a woman, nor a woman put on the raiment of a man. He has railed from the writings of St. Paul about how women shall be keeping their hair a certain way and shall not speak up in church, but shall wait and ask questions of their mates when they get home from church, and shall not, women shall not be a member of the clergy. Oh, yes. Brother Lonnie Latham has preached many a hellfire and damnation sermon. Brother Lonnie Latham has read from the 42nd chapter of Flip-Floppians about how women shall submit to their husbands as man submits unto Christ. Yes, yea, verily. Brother Lonnie Latham has spoken out about the evils of a man who would lie down with another man.
Yes, dear, he propositioned a dude. And he wasn't asking... Wait, wait, dear, it gets better. It gets better, I promise.
Oh, my God.
He didn't ask the dude to do him.
I don't want to know.
He said he wanted to do the dude.
I'm hitting the dump button.
No, don't leave that dump button alone. She said dump. that's right. That's right. Reverend Lonnie Latham asked a plainclothes male police officer from Oklahoma City whether he might perform fellatio upon him. Or, as they say in the statute books of the state of Oklahoma, a lewd act. Perhaps even in the statute books of Oklahoma, a lewd act of sodomy. Yeah. Yeah. But wait, 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 wait. It's not, honey, it's another Ginsu commercial. But wait, there's more. Said Brother Latham. Sorry, I should be more professional than this. Said Brother Latham. I was set up. I was in the area pastoring to police. Yeah, you's pastoring all right, brother.
Take away that bad seed,
buddy. Oh, she's good. She's quick on her feet. Latham is... Yes, dear.
Wait, don't get me wrong. Okay, whatever people do, that's up to them. But don't be hypocritical about it. You know, don't go and preach on Sunday and then go out on what day was it?
It was Tuesday. It was the oh my God! It was the night before. It was the night before prayer meeting.
But just don't do it, and then try to say you were set up because that's just so wrong.
Yeah,
because
he wasn't set up. He was kneeled down. Jeez. Yeah, in the Southern Baptist Convention had a directive urging 42,000 churches to befriend gays and lesbians and try to convince them that they can become heterosexual. You know what? Reverend Latham stood up in front of the Southern Baptist Convention and said, "Brethren and sistren, reject this directive." Hell! We cannot be reaching out to no homosexuals. Nay. We would not wish to befoul our hands upon the homosexuals. Didn't say anything about tongues and tonsils, I guess. This is them. He is one of four Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee members from Oklahoma. I mean, this isn't your little small fry Southern Baptist. This is a big one. Then Agnes says we got to take a break, so we're gonna. Dave Early.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
As I sing Joni the Jehovah Witness Stripper. She drives a new car, wears expensive blouses. She tells her mama she's cleaning houses. She goes out witnessing, doing the Lord's work all week. But on the weekend, she's making ends meet. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper, put a dollar in her G-string, and she'll deliver. If her daddy only knew, he'd probably kill her. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper.
Now, you understand that we're bound to have our good times when things like Brother Lonnie Latham's little forays out of the closet come along. And well, we should. Pointing out hypocrisy and mendacity is a big part of this program. Any, you know, you, my God, this guy stood up and said, I don't, if you get down and, well, not down and dirty, see, that's going to get me in trouble. If you get right to the core of the matter with your average Southern Baptist fundamentalist, I'm not talking about the show up once in a while types. I'm talking about the ones that really just camp out there every time the doors are open, you know, and
oh my God, the hypocrisy. But the point here is not the fact that I feel sorry for him. I've had my fun. I'm done. I feel sorry for this man. He's obviously gay or bi. And I can't imagine the tortured life that this man has to live, standing up every Sunday and railing and inveighing against people for what happens to them when the lights go out. And then when his lights go out, he can't be who he is. So a little bit of shame on me for doing that, because his situation is tragic, but my willingness to shame on myself over this is tempered by the knowledge of the hell he has wreaked upon other individuals and the misery that he has contributed to. So, no, I rescind the shame on me. Screw him. No, not that either. To hell with him, okay? There we go. To hell with Brother Latham. Because I'm liberal and a proud one. And I believe that whoever you are, you are. And that if you have to run around your life hiding who you are, that in the conceptualization of sin, that is the greatest sin that a society could foist upon an individual. You get my meaning? I know you do. But come on, you had to grin a little bit when you got to the point about how he was pastoring to the police. You know, the heathen police. Eating them demon donuts. Lordy, lordy, lordy. Maybe it's a misprint. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe it doesn't. He didn't mean he wasn't pastoring. He was posturing. No. Stop that. Behave. Yes, dear. I'll behave. But it's sad, isn't it? It's truly sad. How many tormented young people have sat in the congregation while he railed at them in their silence and in their shame and in their profound sense of aloneness? How many people has he sent home weeping because they couldn't be as upright as Brother Lonnie? Oh, ye generation of vipers. Let's take a break. We'll come back for the final hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. What in the world? Are we going to do this break or not? There we go. Yeah, that's me. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
To escape, the city was sticky and cruel. Maybe I should have called you first, but I was dying to get to you.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victim's program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. to help pay for Alex's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries?
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
When I hear that robin sing, well, I know it's coming on spring. Ooh-wee. And we're starting a new life. I've been shoveling the snow away, working hard for my pay. All I gotta say is we're starting a new life. We gonna move way on down the line. Girl, we'll be standing in one place too long a time. When I hear that robin song, well, I know it won't be long. Find out where we belong. Yeah, we're starting a new life.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, so I had a couple of minutes to think about it. I'm not done with Brother Latham. You can wag that finger at me all you want to, Agnes, but I am not done with Brother Latham because there are a couple of details. Now, Jesus was a man of poverty, right? I mean, you know, when you're God on earth, you don't have a lot of use for stuff, right? So, Jesus didn't have a lot of stuff. Latham, who has spoken out against homosexuality, asked the officer to join him in his hotel room for oral sex. Latham was arrested and his... Remember, Jesus was a man of poverty. Latham was arrested and his 2005 Mercedes-Benz automobile was impounded. Okay? You got to get the whole picture together, and I think I failed you to a certain degree in not painting that picture for you.
You've got to have the picture of the good, godly, upstanding, righteous Brother Latham in his 2005 Mercedes-Benz. The arrest took place in the parking lot of the Havana Inn. Oh, where's that line from Blazing Saddles? Wait a minute, sugar, I ain't from Havana. The Havana Inn, which is an area where the public has complained about male prostitutes flagging down cars. The plainclothes officer was investigating these complaints. You with me so far? So Brother Latham cruises up in his Mercedes, rolls down the window, and invites, this is part of the story, and the senior pastor of the South Tulsa Baptist Church rolls down his window and says, "Hey, sugar, how about we go back to my hotel room and let me you?"
Did he have a Mr. Microphone with him?
"Hey, honey, we'll be back to pick you up later." Yeah, that's only good for people who are in on the early days of cable. But you get the picture. Come back to my hotel room, because remember, he's off the reservation, because he's from Tulsa, and he's down in the big city. He's in Oklahoma City, all right? So he's away from the prying eyes of his, shall we say, parishioners. And so he cruised, one would assume that he, because she would have been busted too, he was away from the prying eyes of the little woman. You know, Mrs. Reverend Latham. And he pulls up in his 2005 Mercedes and he says, "Hey, you stud." Nope, can't go there, can't do it. And that's when he gets busted for offering a lewd act. Now, did you hear the part about how the cop was a plainclothes police officer? You did get that, right? And what was his alibi? "I was set up. I was pastoring to the police." The man is on vacation away from Tulsa, down in Oklahoma City, and he still has time to pastor to the police. And what's more, he must have been in the spirit, because he was able to... Oh, you naughty, naughty Agnes! That's right, he was speaking in tongues. No, he was in the spirit because he had the ability to perceive that this really hot dude that he was looking at was actually a plainclothes police officer, because he said he was ministering to the police. You got it so far? You with me on this one? Let's go to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Bob, I think you're being a little tough on the Reverend Latham.
There it is! There it is! I was waiting!
So now let me get this straight. He's rolling in the Benzo.
Yeah.
The window goes down, and it's "Yoo-hoo, sugar, let's explain lower and slower anointing-wise."
That's about the size of it.
Oh,
well,
no,
I did. Oh, should have left that one alone, too. It's tough to get through some of these stories.
Oh, Bob, the door is wide open. This is straight line nirvana, my dear. I'm sorry, Forrest Gump could do punchlines to this stuff.
Oh, now see, that's no that hurts my feelings.
Right, I'm sorry.
But he could.
A double digit ridge runner from Eastern Tennessee could do punchlines to this stuff. Oh, goodness gracious. And, you know, I had to drop off because I had a little computer problem, but didn't I also hear that this guy had crafted and helped write and was like a driving thrusting force behind the anti-homosexual tenets of those that cult?
Yeah, that's Brother Latham.
That's Brother Latham. Yes, indeedy. I think I explained that to the wife and kids. No wonder if that. Oh,
well, Agnes says Mrs. Brother Lay Them is probably in on the gig, and she doesn't care. She just likes the cars.
Well, now I'm saying this quite seriously, and I'm going to stop laughing because all I have to do is think about that twisted, obviously demented individual. And I'm not saying that because he may have desires outside the straight up man woman thing. It's the fact that he's, you know, trying to work both sides of the aisle. Chances are they
just don't quit coming, do they? Oh,
goodness! Yeah, oh boy, we could probably.
I don't know if we can get through this without.
No, I'm serious. I want to get back to trying to be serious.
Okay.
Start laughing again. That couple probably has children. There are one or two or three kids in Tulsa right now that are falling apart.
Yeah.
And he's done that. He has, in this moment, with his lies, with his fakery, with his ugly, ugly duplicity, he has ruined whatever lives they've created under their banner of sacred sex. And I feel truly sorry for him, because if anybody's going to have his seat in hell warmed a little bit more by what's happened recently, it's that person. Because I'm sorry, there's no greater sin than that, than living the lie and lying about it.
That is a sin.
Hypocrisy is the greatest of.
Well, you touch upon a theory, David, that has been much in my contemplation lately. I don't know many people that have done anything in their lives that was worth anybody being crucified over. Now, I'm probably going to irritate a few people by saying that, but it's a fact. Most of the people I know have led upright, decent lives all their lives, and have been driven by guilt into this notion that they are somehow a bad human being. But when being untrue to yourself, your fundamentally decent self, and living a lie is among the highest sins that a person can engage in. You're absolutely right.
And he is, and he can never, ever, ever, in front of his God, a real God, his next door neighbor, tell us that man's dog may not like him for this.
Well, no, that's where you and I part company, David. Because he's going to go back to Tulsa, and he's going to cry. We had an email from one of our new friends, Bernie, out in Oregon. And he says that we're cracking him up. And he says, I love it when one of these twits gets caught. And he goes on to mention Jimmy Swaggart got caught and confessed on TV, and he's still doing what he's doing. Brother Lay Them will go back to Tulsa and lay out that line of hooey about how he was set up by the police, and
or some twisted please forgive me rant, rap,
yeah,
lie, and because they
and get away with it,
they, the congregation that he has seduced,
the sheep,
the sheeple don't want to admit how far off base they are, they'll double down and lose it all again to him. Not to God, not to religion, not to anything resembling how to treat fellow man, but because they don't want to admit they're neck deep in it, they'll double down and lose it all over again.
And keep on making those payments on the Mercedes. You know, because the congregation...
Not theirs. His. They'll keep on making sure that in his hour of need and tribulation, he doesn't have to give up those creature comforts, but let him think clearly about how they and he and they can be devoted to the brother Lay Them.
Oh, God. I know. But, and you know, it goes a little further, David. Because, you know, they're in your neck of the woods... Roundabout Nash Vegas, there's a, I think Brother Land, who is the Grand Sachem of the that was enlightened. The Grand Sachem of the Southern Baptist Convention. Doesn't he live in one of those McMansion communities south of Nashville?
Almost certainly. As I recall, his mailing address was Franklin, and if he's working with Southern Baptist and he's that far up the food chain in that organization, it's gated, it's gorgeous, it's...
He's living well, if not necessarily right.
Oh, he's leaving, he's one of those guys that qualifies for the, you're less likely than the camel through the eye of the needle type deal.
Well, the trick, the kick, though, here, David, is... You know, this Brother Latham, thank you so much for that, by the way.
You're quite welcome.
Brother Latham is an executive committee member, so that means when he goes to the meetings of the SoBapCon and sits down with his other SoBapCon aficionados, he will... You know, the thought process has got to occur. These people have engaged in so much bigotry and so much hate, David, that they're going to have to sit there and wonder, even though they've forgiven him, and even though he's promised them that it was all a setup because he was just posturing to the pastor and to the police, they're going to have to sit there and wonder, am I sitting next to a fairy? And then the next thing, sooner or later, the light's going to go on, and they're going to wonder how many more are there. Because you know what? In anything as repressed as the Southern Baptist Convention, they have got to be absolutely awash in sexually tormented human beings.
Bob, we agree and we disagree. They are, without question, awash in sexually tormented individuals. But, Bob, that organization, I'll bet you lunch at a spot I can't afford to pay for. They will never, ever question him. There will be a written statement 30 days before the next big meeting that it has been prayed over, anointed, rubbed with Crisco, discussed in the pyramid of the righteous, not in the basement of the church where the little blue-haired ladies, you know, made fudge and welcomed children. No, no, not there. It'll be in, you know, the 11th floor suite of the downtown Hilton. They will have made an executive decision that they have prayed over it, and he has done some sort of thing or another. Anyway, they'll paper it over, and... Either he'll be in a back room or he'll still be on the podium with them, but they will never, ever, ever let that be open to any sort of public challenge. And I don't think they'll ever openly wonder about it. Now, maybe at night, but frankly, I think the Southern Baptist Convention is so riddled with hypocrisy and power hunger. I think you said it once before, greed. Kill. They love
Indeed.
Power. They have cooked in a spoon and shot in that vein that they can reach in that left crook of the elbow. They're high on that stuff, Bob. They're not going to give it up just because one guy was begging for a chance to give a cop an orgasm because some 28-year-old kid from Tulsa shaved his legs and wore some shorts in a bad neighborhood. They're not going to let that stand in their way to garner power.
No, hell no. And just in case you were wondering, in the midst of our conversation, David, Agnes has jumped out there and gotten us a little background information on Brother Lonnie Latham. He became pastor of South Tulsa Baptist Church in 2002. And Sunday school attendance has grown to near 700, and there have been more than 100 baptisms. Now, how long ago was it? Well, I think it was in the spring of last year when the story broke about the Baptist church in Alabama where they had caught the youth minister molesting children. And I spoke to the sheriff there who was a the sheriff of the Jackson County, Alabama maybe, notorious homophobe. you know, thinks that gay people literally should be killed. And I asked him about it, and he said, well, the charges aren't proven yet about Reverend so-and-so. But I said, well, how many people, how many kids did he diddle? We're not letting that information out to the public.
No, because the public might really act upon it and request justice, might request honest legal proceedings, might request some adjudication that causes that horror to be removed from the face of organized religion. And he doesn't want that dust up in his community.
And before anyone can make the mistake, I am not going to go where the right wing goes. I don't equate homosexuality with pedophilia or pederasty. Pedophiles are predators, and they are violent people. They're not sexual people. It's a power trip. But the whole thing here is that the Southern Baptist Convention, David, does make that analogy. And now they have a gay man in their midst.
And they're going to have to either acknowledge their incorrect connection between pedophilia and homosexuality, or they're going to have to admit they were dead wrong, and they are dead wrong about that. You're right. There is no clinical, statistical, no matter how you approach it, there is absolutely no connection between homosexuality and there's no automatic connection to pedophilia. It's just not there. And now they're forced. They should be forced. But within their own organization, they'll circle the wagon, close the blinds, put on the blinders, and the denial will take over, and they will never, ever address this. It will be business as usual, as it has been, as it will be, and there will be such well-presented hokum offered to those that have been writing those checks that the vast majority of them will keep writing the check. And that's, you've said it tonight, you've said it before, you've said it in years past. That is the most frightening and most, that's the most dismaying part of this.
No, here's one more dismaying thing, David.
Oh, geez, come on, the hits just keep on coming.
Yeah, the Southern Baptist Convention wields a whole boatload of power in the state of Oklahoma. You said it was about power. It is, and where Oklahoma is concerned, they have a bunch of it, just like they have in Mississippi or Alabama or your state, Tennessee, Arkansas.
Tennessee.
Sure. They have all, and now this is just a bust and an arraignment and a bond. The trick is to keep up with this story. Where does it go? Because this case, there's only two ways for this case to wind up, either with a guilty plea or a trial verdict. It's a misdemeanor, solicitation for a lewd act. It can only end in a guilty plea, a nolo contendere, you know, no contest plea, or it can end in a trial verdict of either guilty or not guilty. If anything else happens, if it just disappears, if it just goes away quietly, you will know right then and there, David, the extent of the power of the so-called church in Southern politics. Because I consider Oklahoma a Southern state, not a Western state. But you will know the extent of that power.
There are certain characteristics to the political, governmental, and church actions of the state of Oklahoma that let it resemble a Southern state. But you and I are Southern to our core. Please don't make that mistake again. Ain't nothing Southern about Oklahoma.
Okay.
It acts like us a little bit now and then. And that's, for all of you listeners, that's mostly Bob and I talking about an Alabama boy talk. You listen to a Tennessee boy saying, leave them damn Okies out of it.
But David, in all honesty, you know, they got this brand spanking new senator there, Tom Coburn, and back during the campaign season, Tom Coburn came out and said that there was a homosexual lesbian crisis in the junior high schools of Oklahoma.
I remember that. That made the news around here, but I tell you what.
How's he going to deal with it?
It's going to be behind the scenes. It's going to be every pressure angle you could ever imagine. We don't want this bad publicity for Oklahoma. We don't want this for Tulsa. We don't want this for Oklahoma. He knows what he did wrong. He's on his knees now.
Oh, Lord, he is.
He and his, in a different position. I mean,
don't work either.
In a different context. He's asking for forgiveness. He's seen the error of his ways, et cetera, et cetera. But tell you what, Bob, I try not to bet very much at all. You know, a buck here on Tennessee football with Alabama fans, I'll do that. But I tell you what, I'll take the never heard of again against the field that you so perfectly, with a little bit of legal background that I know you have, that you so perfectly enumerated. I'll take the field against all of those other normal outcomes should he not be connected to power. I'll take the it's never heard of again against the field.
Sadly, I won't take the bet because I'm with you on that. It'll disappear. Now, you know, we're lucky in that one of the great internet humor pundits, Bart Kopp, is there in Tulsa. And I don't know, maybe he'll be able to keep an eye on this story.
So Bart Kopp's in Tulsa?
Yeah.
That just means there is a God and she loves it.
I certainly do hope he can keep an eye on it. David, thanks so much for all the input. Brother Latham, I owe you for that all by itself.
Simple phonetics, Bob. You know, the old blind hog has rooted up another acre. You know, it happens now.
Take care.
I shall, my brother.
Later now. Bye.
See ya.
Okay, maybe we're done with Brother Latham now. No, hell no, we're not done with Brother Latham. We'll be done with Brother Latham when he pays his fine or is found guilty and is defrocked. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
That's enough of Brother Latham. Brother Latham. No, really, that's enough, with the possible exception of one email that we received during the break. To wit, Brother Latham, are you happy to... Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just pastoring me? Boom, boom. I almost completely messed that up. You know, doggone it. Okay, let's have done with Brother Latham and his Mercedes-Benz and all the fools that support him. There's a petition. I haven't gotten to, I've had this sitting around for a little while now. I meant to mention it. There is a petition going around among the Native American community. And you need to know about this because, you know, I talk from time to time, and maybe there are those out there who don't believe it, but the Bush family... The Bush family is a truly loathsome family. They have never worked an honest day in their lives through about four generations now. And, you know, whether we're talking about Barbara Bush and her comments on Good Morning America at the start of the Iraq War, when they asked her if she would be watching news reports about the war, and she said something to the effect of, oh, why should I? I mean, who died and how many? Why should, and body bags, and why should I bother my beautiful mind with that kind of thing? You know, it's there on tape, you wingnuts that sort of hang out around the corners of this program. It's there. You can find the audio of it. It exists. Why should I trouble my beautiful mind? You know, this is a loathsome, dirty, hate-filled, money-grubbing, nouveau-riche, social-climbing family. And it goes all the way from George W. back up the line. You doubt me? Dateline San Carlos, Arizona. American Indians are petitioning Congress to investigate the elite Skull and Bones Society at Yale University and return the reins of Chiricahua Apache warrior Geronimo to the Apaches for reburial. The online petition describes the desecration of Geronimo's grave in 1918 by members of the society, including Senator the man who would someday be Senator Prescott Bush while he was a Yalie, including, well, you know, Senator Prescott. This is the grave robbers. You know, we tell you time and again.
Now, Prescott was also the one that was
doing business with Hitler.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, dear. Grave robbing. I mean, is there any awful, rotten, malignant, hateful, tortuous thing that this family has not engaged in? Grave robbing? Using... President George W. Bush's grandfather, Senator Prescott Bush, participated in the act. The men removed Geronimo's head and a prized silver bridle, which had been buried with him. Using acid and amid laughter, they stripped Geronimo's head of hair and flesh. They then took their trophies back to Yale University and put them on display in the clubhouse of the secret fraternity, Skull and Bones. Guess what part Geronimo's head played? Geronimo left his rifle and peace pipe here when they took him away. When Geronimo was taken from this land, he wanted to come back and be buried on San Carlos in the Triplet Mountains. That, according to the Apaches. There is a photograph that accompanies this article, and it is sad. Geronimo died an old man, having been kidnapped by the American government, and his only wish was to be taken back to his homeland and buried in his native soil. And a bush, a godforsaken bush, couldn't leave that noble, decent, hard-fighting, pious by the respects of his own people, man, to rest in his own grave. Again, you know, I come back to the theory: scratch a Republican, find a racist. Scratch a Republican, uncover bigotry. Do you suppose that Prescott Bush would have been willing to dig up the head of George Washington? It was a hell of a lot closer trip to Mount Vernon than it was to Arizona. But you see, that's how it is with a Bush, because Bushes are cowards. And Prescott, young Prescott, knew he would be busted if he tried to desecrate the grave of our great white father, George Washington. He knew he couldn't get away with grave-robbing Thomas Jefferson. He knew he couldn't get away with grave-robbing Abraham Lincoln out in, what, Springfield, Illinois? But, you know, an Indian, well, an Indian is, you know, when it comes to a bush, an Indian is something a little less than human. So, Prescott and his pals can go out and get all liquored up and dance a little war whoop dance around the grave of Geronimo and dig him up, steal his grave goods and take him back. You know, well, it's not enough that they dug him up. They took him back and desecrated his flesh. They burned the hair and flesh off of his skull with acid.
That's cultish. That's actually witchcraft.
Well, what do you think Skull and Bones is, dear? I mean, I'm not getting into the conspiracy theory, but they've been exposed. We know what their rituals are. You have to climb into a coffin and engage in things like what we were talking about with Brother Latham there. And the next thing, and then you, yeah, cultish, that works.
But isn't the right wing that's against Harry Potter?
Sure.
But they say this is okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding. And you got to understand, Geronimo hadn't been dead for that very long a period of time when they dug him up. We're talking about 1918. He died an old man. Raleigh Thompson said the society, of which Bush and his father, George H.W. Bush, are members, admitted that it held Geronimo's remains. Like I said, time and again, I tell you what a downright, dirty, evil, loathsome little clan, that's with a K, the Bush family is. This is further proof. And they've held it for all this time. And, you know, I don't remember. I read the account of it. The Skull and Bones were infiltrated. I think you have to come up and kiss Geronimo's skull or something as part of the initiation right after you tap to be a bonesman. And look, I was in a fraternity in college. I wasn't hazed. We had strong rules against that kind of thing, but you know, we had our fun. You know, big old keg parties, that kind of thing, and played practical jokes on each other. George Bush's fraternities always wind up doing something filthy, though. Remember, he was a member of DEEK, Delta Kappa Epsilon, at Yale, and they went and they branded their so-called brothers with white hot metal. And his grandfather was involved in grave robbing. And yes, George, you can just imagine the young George Bush, fresh from his stint of applying brands to pledges' backsides, being initiated in his senior year into Skull and Bones, and looking at that skull and knowing that his grandfather, Prescott, had done the dirty deed that brought that skull there, and in that hateful little laugh of his, and look at, there's old Geronimo's skull. It's no laughing matter. Prescott Bush was among a group of six Army soldiers who dug up Geronimo's remains at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Whoa, I was wrong. That wasn't Arizona. Fort Sill, Oklahoma, in 1918. The Apache tribe received a copy of a logbook describing the grave digging, grave robbing, and a photograph of a skull on display before meeting with the board in New York. The Board of Skull and Bones, that is. You know, and this isn't from some weirdo conspiracy website. This is from Indian Country Today. You can likely go there and IndianCountry.com. You can find the article. You can see it for yourself. You can see the pathetic photo of old toothless Geronimo kidnapped and kept in captivity like an animal. What won't a Bush do? We know now a Bush will grave rob. A Bush will do business with anyone he thinks can enrich him. Hitler. Yeah, really, Hitler. Prescott Bush was busted under the Trading with the Enemy Act for his activities with the Nazi regime during World War II. It's part of the reason that George H.W. Bush had to go and become the youngest ever naval aviator to pull some of the shame off of his daddy Prescott. You see, because as it turned out, he was the youngest naval aviator at the time, and he was a pretty poor one, too. He finally did crash near Chichijima, but that was the final insult. There'd been a whole bunch of near misses. As it turned, my uncle went through flight training with him. My uncle was privileged to go on and fly fighter aircraft, which was the highest level of pilot in the Navy at the time. George got assigned to a torpedo bomber that routinely went around not dropping torpedoes, but taking pictures. Another parallel. Taking pictures. Listening in, taking pictures, what have you. So, we trade. Yes, dear. Go ahead.
What it comes down to is the man with the gold makes the rules. And it can get you out of anything. Right?
I guess. But in all seriousness, if you're a Bush, you'll grave rob. If you're a Bush, you will trade with the most low-down, dirty, hateful, bloodthirsty regime on planet Earth at the time, Hitler. If you are a Bush, it goes on and on. You will, you'll do the dirty things that George H.W. Bush did while he was vice president under Reagan. You'll engage in the October surprise. You will cover up the Iran-Contra affair. You will swear up and down that you had no knowledge of what went on with Iran-Contra and say, I wasn't in the loop when you were. You will turn a blind eye to right-wing death squads that march through El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras and kill at will. And you'll maintain plausible deniability. And finally, when the genetic material has reached its absolute nadir, you will cold-bloodedly murder over 100,000 non-combatant civilians who never raised a hard look toward you when you're George W. Bush. They think they're an American dynasty, and honest to God, they behave like royalty. For how many hundreds of years have people in England? How many people died under under the Stuarts, under the Plantagenets, the Yorks, the Lancasters, King John had to be dragged kicking and screaming to the field at Runnymede and forced to cede the power of the crown. People like the Bush family they look at things like the Magna Carta and Runnymede and they think, you know, if only that hadn't happened. They look at things like that and call it the good old days. But I thought, I know, like I said, I was a little late getting to the story, but I thought you really should know about it. IndianCountry.com, Congress petition for return of Geronimo's remains. Never mind granddaddy was a coal miner or anything like that. When the Bushes get together, George sings, Granddaddy was a grave robber. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. Such a thrill. But your love won't pay my bills. I want money.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov. Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Just a few minutes left in tonight's program. Thanks for being around. Makes it so much more fun to know you're there. Didn't know we did requests, did you? Little tune called Sinkhole from the Drive-By Truckers Decoration Day. Our other buddy, David, the one in South Carolina, had a hankering to hear it. Thanks for being a friend of the show, David. We do appreciate it. All right, one last story before we knock off for the night. And it's just as well I don't have a lot of time because I would wind up screaming and carrying on. From the Associated Press, the Army has discovered that it has a little problem. It can't account, that's journalism speak for can't find. You ready for this, Agnes? Never are we? $68 million in parts and tools shipped to contractors for repairs in 2004. Yeah, I know. Maybe this is where we start tomorrow night. The Army can't find $68 million in parts and tools shipped to contractors for repairs in 2004. Why? Is it like L. Paul Bremer's sofa where $8 billion just falls in and never comes back out? No. And this is things ranging from small tools to turbine engines, and they all go to who? Private contractors, because the Army doesn't know how to fix its own stuff anymore, and they go there for repair, alteration, modification. And looking at data from two inventory control points, the GAO investigators, that's General Accountability Office now, it used to be accounting, but now it's accountability, they said 15% or $68 million worth of the unclassified shipments they analyzed could not be confirmed as being received. Now, I know. How in the world could that happen? This is how it happens. The Army can't find that stuff because it doesn't demand receipts. No receipts, no sign off, no sign here. Nope. Not when the, and you know, the military, George Bush, it's your money. We're going to give you a tax cut because it's your money. Don't give me a tax cut. Just take care of the crap that you got. Get a freaking receipt, will you?
No, I'm sorry. The Army is anal about that. You got to sign everything in perfect.
No, you don't. Not when you're this high up on the food chain, you don't. No receipts. Anybody ever run a business? You hang on to receipts like, you know, tuck them in the Bible or put them somewhere that you know that you're going to be able to find them again. Get a receipt. You want a receipt with that? You know, they ask you on the, you go down the West Virginia Turnpike. You want a receipt? Is this going to be a business expense? You need a receipt? They offer you a receipt. But no, not when you're that high up on the food chain. Don't give me a tax cut. Just take care of it. No, just don't waste it. Ugh. Thanks, everybody, tonight. I enjoyed it. I hope you did, too. We'll be praying for you, Brother Lay Them. The show, of course, tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes, announced by Brian Reznor. Randy Curbway engineered the studio for us. Our good friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream that you listen to and the archives that you download from, and we certainly appreciate his efforts. Remember, Ben never sends a bill. He just waits on you to do the right thing, so please, for God's sakes, do it. Thanks also to our listeners at RadioPower.org and those listening via iTunes. Great to have you aboard. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, always, RMR, it's all for you.